Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Taping this on a Thursday, day before Padres begin a three-game series and a five-game road trip. Three-game series in Colorado against the Rockies. Dave Posner, sports editor of the Union Tribune. I'm Kevin Acey.
I'm back, Kevin. Did you miss me?
I know. Oh my gosh. You know, you don't even have to ask. Listen, Jay, I know you're always watching. I know you saw some other games, but you're always watching the Padres. What do you think of what stood out while you were gone? What stood out with the Padres?
I guess the first thing that stood out was Kirby Yates blowing the first two games of the series against the Dodgers. Yep. And the bullpen in general, it seemed like. And again, yeah. I was in the Eastern time zone for this trip that I was on, so it is really difficult sometimes to keep up with some of these games. Friday and Saturday games against the Dodgers, they had leads, blew them with Yates, I guess, giving up the ultimate winning runs in both of those games. Sunday, it was great. I got to my hotel in Cleveland and checked in and said, oh, I should check the Padres score and see if they're still playing. And it said Hunter Renfroe was up with the bases loaded in the bottom of the ninth. So I quickly got it on my phone, and the only two pitches I saw in the game were the two pitches to Hunter Renfroe. It was that was like the perfect anecdote for our society now, where you don't want to watch the whole game, just watch what matters. So there it was. I saw two pitches, and it mattered. Monday night, I stayed up late, and that was impressive, by the way. I mean, that was a big win. If you can have a big win in May, that was important to come back. Beat the Dodgers, don't get swept, all that kind of stuff. Monday, stayed up late, wasn't going to miss Paddock and DeGrom. Was well worth it. Great game. Again, Hunter Renfroe for the Padres. Paddock was phenomenal. So was DeGrom, but Paddock was even better. So I saw that. Don't think I saw any of Tuesday and was on a plane yesterday. So missed out on the last couple of games. So what did I missed another Hunter Renfroe moment yesterday, right?
Yeah, 7th inning home run yesterday, and I think that, I think that they have their two corner outfielders, at least for now. Hunter Renfroe, last half of last season, or most of the second half, and Franmil Reyes in the second half, and then Franmil Reyes, I know they're sold out on Franmil Reyes, and Hunter Renfroe is going to keep getting in that lineup, so I think your question is, Will Myers and Will Margot, which one of them hitting? Margot's going to play some center field, at least two of those games in Colorado with that massive outfield.
Right.
But I think Hunter is establishing himself.
So what does that mean? So what does that mean for the $81 million that they are? Of course, they've already paid some of it, but what does it mean for the $81 million man, Will Myers? You put him in center field, and it hurts your defense. And if he does, although I will say, I'm not as sold on Margot defensively as I thought I would be at this point. I mean, he's good. Obviously, he's better than Myers. But
there you go.
Am I crazy to think that he's not really an elite center fielder?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
Okay.
No, Travis Jankowski is. But you know, Travis again hurt, and then you know the hitting comes and goes. We'll see when he comes back. But that's exactly what it is. He is better than Will Myers. Will can make the routine look, wild. Will can make the spectacular play.
Mm-hmm.
You probably think Manuel Margot is going to more. Will, obviously, can go on tears. And over the course of the season, you expect he's going to be a much better hitter than Manuel Margot. But I think that's an issue that you have there, but it's an issue in particular, and I guess it's a good thing if Hunter Renfroe is performing. But going forward, I just think you're going to see Hunter in there as long as he keeps hitting. You can't keep him out of the lineup. You can't do it.
Right. I mean, we talked about that before. I mean, he's the guy that it's hard to keep out of the lineup. I mean, the 26 homers last year and the rising to the occasion, with the big home runs in the past week. He just seems like the kind of guy it's hard not to put him on the lineup card, and I'm sure that's something the Padres and Andy Green are learning yet again this year, that what do we do? We're struggling to score runs. We need a guy who can step up and get a big hit, and right now he seems like that kind of guy.
And they're counting on that Manny Machado will be that guy. Not to say that he hasn't had a few, but look, so far Manny Machado is not living up to the $30 million. But that's something that needs to be pointed out as well as it needs to be pointed out that we just got into May.
Right, and he's been, I mean, he's been better than I had imagined he would be, you know, not watching him often, better than I imagined he would be defensively.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's a gold glover at two positions. There aren't a lot of guys that could play two infield positions, and you could give him a gold glove at both of them, and you would, nobody would go, oh, that's a terrible decision. I mean, he may not win one. I mean, with a guy like Arenado at third, I don't put much stock in gold gloves anyway, or all-star appearances or all that kind of stuff. To me, he's a gold glove quality third baseman and shortstop. That's what I base it on, not who wins, you know, who might win a particular award or not. And offensively, absolutely. Offensively so far, he's been a little bit of a disappointment. I don't think that anybody would deny that. I mean, obviously, the couple big shots against the Dodgers over the weekend, but they're not going to play the Dodgers every game. So he needs to do that against some other teams as well.
Now, before we talk about his first visit to Coors Field, which, hey, that helps a lot of people sometimes, let's talk about, you mentioned the bullpen. And to me, the bullpen is a problem in particular because of the limitations on the starting rotation.
Which we knew would happen. Right. We knew the bullpen would be taxed, but I think we thought, and I was looking this up because I was looking up some Rockies numbers, and I decided to compare to the Padres. Like, for instance, the Rockies rotation has a 5.71 ERA. Their bullpen's at 3.94. The Padres are the opposite. Their rotation is 3.38. Their bullpen's 4.04. These Rockies numbers, by the way, don't include the game on Thursday as we tape this, where when I came over here to tape this, it was 8-8. So obviously their numbers are even going to be higher. But the Padres' rotation has been better than anybody thought it could be, and their bullpen has been worse than we thought it would be. And whether the young pitchers have probably played a part in that. But let's face it, I mean, some of these guys just haven't pitched as well as we thought they would. I mean, Robert Stock was one of them. You know, Yates has been great, but giving up a couple big runs against the Dodgers, you know, takes a little bit of the shine off what he's done, but not much. He's been excellent. Well, it just stands out a little bit because it was the Dodgers and, you know, they were big crowds, and you count those as, quote, big games. They all still count the same in the standings. But if we had done this a week ago, we would say Kirby Yates has been phenomenal. He's come off of that just a little bit. But he looked good yesterday, right? He struck out all three outs, I guess. Not all three guys.
All three outs.
But all three
right,
outs.
All three outs. He had guys at first and second. And
right.
I'm not convinced that, you know, there's some time he walks a guy because it's like, you know what, I'm going to go to the next guy.
Sure.
That's just
sure.
How you know, and the fact is, I would still say Kirby Yates has been phenomenal. I know that you know, you provided the context there. I've just finished writing a story. Whenever you decide that it's going to publish today, it's up to you because you're the boss, as I always say. But it is talking about not just the innings that this bullpen has pitched, but the high-stress innings. No other bullpen in baseball comes close, or mm-hmm. you know, in all the categories that you would say, oh my gosh, Craig Stammen, Kirby Yates, Trey Wingenter. We're putting now Brad Wick in high leverage situations. You got Phil Maton, for goodness sake, coming in the other day. We're in a tight game with a runner on second base in the sixth inning.
Well, all they ever have are high leverage situations, it seems.
That's
like.
That's exactly
just,
it.
Right, because just about every, I mean, whenever they win, it's by one or two runs.
Yep.
So they're in those situations all the time. They're just not.
So that's an issue. And to me, now I'd love to know what your thought is. You know, you have Jose Castillo, who has been out with the flexor strain. He's just now getting up to 120 feet. I think we're still looking at, I mean, a best-case scenario, him joining the team in mid-June, best case. You've got Aaron Loop, who was pitching, you know, pretty well. Left-handed specialist, went down the second week of the season. He's been gone. But Robert Stock, to me, who in the second half of last season pitched to a 1.50 ERA, and was going, you know, from two batters to three innings at a time and throwing 100. They were counting on him. To me, if you had to pick a big blow to this bullpen, it has been him. As big as it was, losing the high-level innings of Jose Castillo, Robert Stock not being able to throw strikes screwed this bullpen.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be the one, like you said, the one part where you would say the biggest part. I mean, other guys have contributed, but he's certainly one of them. And I'm looking at his
forces,
right,
other people to pitch.
That's true. And I'm looking at his minor league numbers right now. He's been in El Paso for 9 games. He's thrown 9 innings, and he's walked 8 guys. So
that's a problem.
That's the problem that he had. He's given up 2 home runs. He struck out 9. So obviously, again, the stuff is there, but he still, if he's walking a guy every inning, then he still doesn't have the command that he needs to have in order to come back up here, let alone be effective. But I mean, they're not even going to call him back up here if he's walking a guy every inning. No, there's no question that stock hurt them a lot. They haven't really replaced him. You know, there's a lot of people that they've tried in certain spots, and now, but again, when a Wingenter goes down for a little while, you know, that affects everything else. You know, you can't throw Stammen and Yates every single night. And even if you could, it'd be crazy because they're not going to be effective if you have to use them as often as the Padres have had to use them. But at the same time, what are you going to do when you've got a rotation like they have? I mean, you know, Paddock and Strom have gone deeper into games recently than as deep as they could, pretty much, or as you could expect if you know, Paddock went 7 the other night. So I think you're not going to – and Margavičius is what he is, and you're not going to look at him for more than 5 or 6. I mean, again, Lucchesi and Lauer are the guys that you want to see go deeper into games. But, you know, we've talked about this before. Those guys are not number 1 and number 2 starters, and they're not going to be – in the future, if you're looking at those guys in your rotation, they're probably more 4 or 5 type of guys from what we've seen. So it's, I'm not sure what the answer is other than, you know, they need the starters to go deeper. They need the relievers to pitch better. They need, when guys come up, they have to pitch better. I mean, I don't know that it's as easy. I'm not sure there's an easy answer. I mean, do you see one anywhere?
You got to add a starter. And maybe that is, you know, Logan Allen comes up and everything's behind him, and Logan Allen is as good as Matt Strom or whatever.
But where are you putting Logan Allen though? I mean, are you going to start?
Then you start to think about, well, who are we moving to a long relief role, or are we going to a 6-man rotation?
Right.
I'm just saying there's a whole bunch of things that could help. Okay, because at this point, you know who your 2 innings leaders are, right? Chris Paddock and Matt Strom.
Right, and that's not the way it should be.
Limit.
Yeah, right. That's not what they want to look at when they look at that number. They want to see Lucchesi and Lauer up there.
Has to be.
But again, I mean, these guys. You know, you look and I think all 5 guys have been mostly effective. You know, Lucchesi and Lauer have had their rocky moments, but as a rotation, they've been pretty effective. But again, the limits in terms of innings is a hardship for the rest of the bullpen. And I guess the answer is they got to keep, you know, they're going to keep rotating guys up and down from El Paso and find somebody else to be effective. And as long as a guy's effective, use him. And when he becomes ineffective, I guess try somebody else.
I actually think that is the plan and has been. It's been evident from the time when they traded for Matt Whistler, right? They start rotating Perdomo and Maton up here.
Right.
Absolutely. I also think as it gets, we go further on, if they're still, you know, in it and they determine that they can do it, you will see them in the market to add a starter.
Let's right.
talk now, though, Jay, about this series against Colorado. You mentioned here on Thursday what they're knotted up with the, I like that, knotted up. You like knotted up?
Knotted up. How about that?
Yeah. They're tied with the Giants in the finale of that series. What, are they playing in the snow?
They were. The Rockies are now ahead.
Okay.
But they were playing in the snow, which was kind of cool to watch. The 39 degrees at first pitch. I can tell you, Kevin, I went to a game in Detroit on Tuesday night, and it was 48 degrees at that game, and that is really, really cold to sit out there and watch a baseball game. 39 degrees is obviously colder. So
I think Eric Lauer's
bad
first start
for anybody
was in the 40s.
What's that?
I think Eric Lauer's major league debut was in the 40s. I'll check it out. But his debut came at Coors Field, and he will be pitching tomorrow night against the Rockies. It's Lauer, Lucchesi, and Margavičius.
Right.
This will be interesting because, you know, all of them, you know, rely on some stuff that we'll see. You know, sometimes it works in Colorado, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, and then Marquez goes tomorrow against Lauer. The Padres missed him on the little 2-game visit the Rockies made to Petco. John Gray, who pitched well here, will pitch on Saturday. He's coming off two poor starts in a row. And then Antonio Senzatella, who made his debut here at Petco when the Rockies won those two games. He is pitching on Sunday. He's not had a good start since his good start against the Padres. Rockies have been a weird team. They started 3-12. Then they won 10 of 12. Then they lost 6 of 9 going into today. So they'll either be 16-21 or 17-20 when people listen to this, based on whatever happened this afternoon. Looking at some of their numbers, Arenado's back to being Arenado. Charlie Blackman's back pretty much being Charlie Blackman, Trevor Story. Their offense is 8th in the NL in runs, 9th in OPS. But, you know, that's not great considering they play at Coors Field. Their OPS is about 160 points higher at home. Their pitching at home is allowed an OPS that's 200 points higher than on the road. And that, again, going into today, the Thursday game, Rockies ERA at home 6.73 with an OPS of 884. And both those numbers will be higher when the Padres play there on Friday. So by contrast, the Padres pitchers are basically the same, 698 at home, 681 on the road. So those numbers will probably go up a little bit on the road this weekend. But an interesting – one other stat I wanted to note on the bullpen. I had this on my sheet here. Padres starters have allowed 21 home runs in 205 innings. Padres relievers have allowed 24 home runs in 136 innings. So, obviously, the relievers have had a big problem keeping the ball in the ballpark, where the starters have not. We'll see how that holds up at Coors Field this weekend.
As we wrap it up today, it's a new phenomenon that we've been experiencing this year and talking about, like, the importance of games and all that. So when the Rockies were here last time, the Padres had been doing well and the Rockies had not. And that flipped. And that felt to me a lot like how, you know, teams get well against the Padres, right?
Right.
And now
right.
The Rockies have gone on and have had, you know, since their start went, what, they came in here 4-12 or something? I don't know. They'd lost like 7 of 8. They've evened it out to a large extent. But I just feel like this is sort of like a big one for the Padres, sort of like winning that third game against the Dodgers was big. You don't go in and lose 2 of 3. You don't go in and get swept by the Rockies here. Teams that win the World Series have a stretch at some point where they lose to the Tigers or have a 6-game stretch where they lose to the Marlins and the Tigers. But they just feel like, you know, this is another series. The Padres go in and they win against a sub-500 team. I think that's what they should do.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, I know the Rockies are a sub-500 team. I'm not sure I would consider them in that vein just because of what they probably should be. And at the end of the season, I wouldn't think that they would be. But this is, you know, you've got a stretch of 5 games here on the road against the Rockies and the Dodgers, the two teams that everybody figured would be the best in the NL West this year. And then you come home and play the Pirates and Diamondbacks. I saw the Pirates in person at PNC Park last week. Beautiful park. They lost 14-1 to the A's. So, but again, I'm not judging a team based on one game. But the Pirates are not a great team anyway. I mean, I think they're around 500. And, you know, they're somewhat mediocre. We'll talk more about them next week. But this week coming up, five games on the road, two places where the Padres have not played well recently and against teams they haven't played well against recently. And so we'll see what happens. I mean, we'll run through the rotation once in these 5 games. So Paddock and Strom will pitch in LA on Tuesday and Wednesday, which will be fun to see. And we'll get into that more when we do this next week. But this is a good weekend to see what happens. And, you know, they won't be in the snow. I think it's supposed to be a little chilly tomorrow and then warm up for you over the weekend.
You know what they say in Denver? If you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes.
And exactly. I'm sure it'll change. But what did I miss anything else? What's the latest on Fernando Tatis Jr.?
I would be shocked if he is not playing in Los Angeles. As a matter of fact, I think that is like all but a definite. He's in Arizona. Getting some at bats, he can go there and get 10 at bats today if that's what they want him to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any indication, but I guess I'll be surprised if he doesn't join him at some point in Colorado.
That'd be great. I know it's, I don't know that they want to expose him to, you know, really cold weather, but I'm looking, it's supposed to be probably be in the 50s at game time, maybe around 60 on Saturday. Sunday's supposed to be a 70 degree day in Denver. So, that would be great, obviously, to see Tatis back in action.
They have been very careful with him. They've acknowledged that, but I'm telling you, the kid is ready to go.
I saw he was playing basketball in the clubhouse the other day, wasn't he?
Silly, but it was incredible, Jay. Like, he used to fall back jumpers. I mean, the kid is fine. Not to mention that he took batting practice the day before. He's just hitting bombs all over the place. So.
Right, right. Well, then it sounds like maybe he'll be, he might even, as you said, show up before Los Angeles. And the sooner the better. It's always better to watch the games when he's playing. So we'll...
But that'll make, if he's coming back for the first time and Paddock is starting on Tuesday, that makes for some good stuff.
I'm not even sure how we'll be able to control you. I'm going to have to look into the cost of restraints in the press box at Dodger Stadium if that happens.
That'll be fun. Hey, I appreciate it, Jay. I appreciate you coming back.
I'm. It's always great to be back, Kevin. You know, it's always great to be back. So
we'll talk to everybody on Monday or Tuesday.
Exactly. Yeah. Have a good weekend, everyone.
Okay.